Hi, I'm Rick Brumback, and I want to welcome you once again to our class here at the Henderson Church of Christ. As you look at the PowerPoint, you'll notice with the reference to the Good Neighbor and to Luke chapter 10 that we're going to be spending our time talking today about the Good Samaritan and its significance for us even in 21st century America. I invite you to take your Bible, open up, and follow along as we read this series of verses together. We're going to make a few observations and then follow that up by discussing some ways in which we can be a good neighbor in our own homes and communities today. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. The text introduces us to a testing question, we could call it, in verses 25 through 28. And here's what the text says. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Now, there are a couple of things that stand out to us in this passage that we want to make note of. And the first is that we're dealing with a lawyer. And this lawyer is not so much what we would think of today in our discussions. This is a person who was very well versed in knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures, or what we would call the Old Testament. You might remember that in their day, they didn't have Bibles like ours with concordances and appendices at the back to make it easy to reference passages. So here's an individual who would know the Bible text so well that if someone asked, they could put their finger on where a certain discussion or passage was found. Maybe they could even be brought into discussions or even formal settings and point everyone to the right text. What that says to us is this person would have a tremendous knowledge of God's Word and would be able to reference passages within it pretty easily. When it comes to Jesus, we might think, well, if I could stand in Jesus' presence, I would have some questions I would want to ask him as well. But this man's question was not one that was geared to provide a helpful or beneficial answer for himself. In fact, the Bible text tells us that it was given out of what we would call a poor attitude. His aim was to test Jesus, maybe to embarrass him somehow, to ask him a question that he thought Jesus might not be able to answer and somehow cause Jesus to be embarrassed or ashamed. But what he learned was that he was dealing with a person who could handle any challenge. And Jesus did so in a very helpful way. Now, his response was one where he looked at this lawyer and essentially recognized, you're a person who should know the Scriptures. So, if you were to answer your own question, what would you say? And so the lawyer puts together an answer that was made up of two parts coming together. The first has to do, as you notice, with a love that's expressed for God. A love that has no limits, no boundaries on it. That is drawn from the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. It would have been a very famous passage to them, just as it is to us today. The second answer that he gives, though, is about the neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. That comes from Leviticus chapter number 19. So it expresses a love for those who are around us. And drawing from these two different books of the Old Testament, he puts these answers together. And Jesus listens to his response and says, that's exactly right. You've answered correctly. Now the question is whether or not this person is going to use this information and try to go out and live what these principles teach. Isn't it interesting that in giving this answer, this man drew upon two principles that we might think of like umbrellas? And what I mean is that every other thing that a person could suggest as an expression of love toward God or love toward neighbor is going to fall under that umbrella of an unbounded love for God and a love for our neighbors the way we love ourselves. Someone may say, well, are you going to keep the Sabbath? Yes, because I love God without limit. Are you going to offer sacrifices? Are you going to behave properly? Yes, because I love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Maybe looking at the persons around us, are you going to love your neighbor and deal with them ethically? Yes, because I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Are you going to be compassionate upon them when they need assistance? Are you going to help if their ox is in the ditch? And the answer would hopefully be yes, because that's all covered under that umbrella discussion or description, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. So by framing his answer in this way, this lawyer is really giving the most comprehensive answer with regard to both God and humanity that a person could craft. And Jesus' hope is that this man will put into practice the very thing that he has just articulated from the scriptures. Well, that's probably not the response that the man was thinking that he was going to receive from Jesus. And so what he does is follow it up with a second question. This question is described in verses 29 through 35, and we could call it a limiting question. Now, what we mean by a limiting question is to say that when Jesus is talking about doing this, the man wants to draw the circle small enough that he can decide who it is that he wants to recognize as his neighbor. Who is it that I have to love in a way that Leviticus 19 is speaking of? You know, maybe all people are pretty good at loving their family members who love them. Maybe all people are really good at loving their friends who love them. Right? Compassionate to those who are compassionate to us. Thoughtful to those who are thoughtful toward us. But what about everybody else? What about the strangers that we've not met? What about the persons who some might consider to be their enemies or from that other group? Maybe the way that this lawyer is framing this question here, starting in verse 29, is revealing the fact that he would like to draw that boundary in a very limited sense so that he doesn't have any obligations to all of those other people on the outside. It's to that question that Jesus really offers this parable of this Good Samaritan. It's interesting to pay attention to the figures that are mentioned in this parable, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, because what they do reveals something unexpected about each of them. So this man is making this trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and in the story, he is treated horribly by these robbers or thieves, right? Left for dead. They saw no value. They saw him as someone to be plundered or pillaged, his things to be taken, right? He was an object of opportunity and ease. Well, as he's lying there, you have a figure that goes by who is this priest. Now, a priest figure in this context would be, of course, very recognizable because from the Old Testament days of Moses and Aaron, the priests were the individuals appointed by God to represent the individual Israelites and Jews in their relationship to God and to represent the nation in their relationship to the Lord as well. The priests would be responsible for helping to make these sacrifices and the offerings that would take place at the temple. We might say that these were supposed to be persons who were very attuned to the needs that people have, and especially wanting them to be connected spiritually in a very good and healthy way to God above. But the problem is that when this priest, who should be a good humanitarian, goes by, he sees this Samaritan, and he does not have compassion for that person at all. And as a result, he is not interested at all in going over and seeing if he could render aid. In fact, Jesus points out this person would be willing to go to the other side, out of his way, to avoid doing anything to help this person out. Well, sadly, there's a second figure that comes along and behaves exactly the same way, and this figure is a Levite. Now, the Levites were descendants of Aaron from the Old Testament. The Levites were charged with taking care of things that went on at the temple. They would take care of the furnishings and other elements there. So we could say that in a way, like the priest, they're right at the heart of religious practice and expression. These are individuals who should also be spiritually mature. They should see the needs of people to connect with God and really have a humanitarian bent to them. Sadly, just like the priest, this person stepped to the other side and went on by, not going to render any aid or help at all. Now, that would be surprising, and it shouldn't be that way if at times it was. But it's this third figure that really is the pivotal figure in this whole thing, because he's a person who Jesus presents as surprising in a better way. At this particular time in history, the Jews and the Samaritans as a whole did not always have very good relationships with one another. In fact, there would often be some real hostility between them. So what Jesus is doing is not just using the question of a stranger, someone the Samaritan didn't know, but using someone who would, as understandably a Jewish type figure, this Samaritan would look at and maybe not be inclined to want to help if, you know, the common animosity were present. But instead, this good Samaritan explodes all these limitations and boundaries and goes over and renders aid to this person. Now, think for just a minute about the way that the Bible talks about the aid that he gave. He went up and he used whatever supplies he had and he tended to the wounds that this man had suffered. He knew that it wasn't good to leave him out there. I mean, he can't do that. The man would surely pass. And so he put him up on his own animal. I presume then that the Samaritan was prepared to walk because this injured person needed to ride. And so he was willing to do that. They get to this inn where they could provide some relief and some care. And he spends time doing that, pays 2 denarii to cover expenses. Now, a denarius was the amount that a typical worker or laborer would be expected to be paid for a day's work. So he was willing to pay 2 days' worth of wages to cover the needs or expenses of this person he didn't even know, and maybe would have been counted by some as among the enemy. What's more is he kind of left it open-ended there because he told the innkeeper, I've got to go, you're going to tend to him, but I'm going to come back, and if there's something else that I need to pay for or cover in terms of his care, you just let me know. In this sense, the Samaritan has shown to be a very good, compassionate figure and really a good neighbor to this person who has been treated so badly by the bandits and then neglected by the priest and the Levite. So in this way, Jesus is answering this question, who is my neighbor, by calling upon this lawyer to do away with any of these artificial boundaries that people sometimes draw, and to just look with compassion and see someone who needs assistance. And like the Good Samaritan, to recognize, I'm here, I have the resources and the opportunity, I need to do something to help. I want to. At the end of this section, Jesus then turns one last part to the lawyer and has a question of his own. In verses 36 and 37, it's a challenging question that Jesus offers. But he asks this person and says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And to his credit, the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. We're talking about an adult here that's having this conversation with Jesus, one who is well-versed in the teachings of the Scriptures, the Old Testament. When Jesus asked, who do you think really was the good-hearted person dealing with this victim? The man has no choice but to be honest and answer. It was the Samaritan. The priest was not his friend. The Levite wasn't his friend, but the Samaritan was a great neighbor to him. All that's left is for this person to answer the question of whether they would be willing to imitate this type of selfless, compassionate concern for another person who had a need, whatever that might be. And as this whole thing began with a question of what do I need to do to be right with God, to have eternal life, to think about pleasing heaven, by the time we get down to the end of this entire interchange, Jesus has really encouraged this person and his followers that are there, and we who are reading, he has encouraged us to imitate this type of compassionate spirit, to look at the world around us and have a willingness to act when we have the opportunity, the resources, and when there's a need. That's the type of selfless service that Jesus is trying to coax from this lawyer and from all of us who read about this story. Well, it's important to recognize that attitude plays a great role in this parable and this interchange. We notice, for example, that the lawyer came to Jesus and he had a very poor attitude. It was disingenuous in asking his initial question. When we get to the end of this, it seems like perhaps his attitude has changed, and that's important. We look at the priest and the Levite, and they don't seem to have had a positive attitude toward this person in need. They saw him as an interference, didn't want to be bothered, went to the other side. But the Bible does describe the Samaritan, and he says, the Samaritan. The Samaritan had a heart that was filled with compassion, and as a result, he took action on behalf of this other person. I think it's important for us to recognize that our attitudes lead. Our actions will follow. If you and I work on the heart and make sure that we see things from God's perspective, that we look at the world around us with the same type of compassion and care that typified Jesus, then actually that's going to lead to actions that are going to benefit the people who are around us every day. Right? Having the right attitude is going to lead to us doing the right things. As an example, right now with things that are going on, we might think about the actions that people take on behalf of others in a very selfless way. Various expressions we'll talk about in just a second. You realize that all we're really discussing is what Paul described in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, doesn't that really capture the very heart of what Jesus was saying with this parable of the Good Samaritan? Yes, we can pay attention to our needs, but there's no reason at all why you and I cannot look at the world around us and see what the needs of other people are and try to do right by them. That's what it means to really say we love our neighbor as ourselves. Leviticus chapter 19. Well, here's an image of a figure that really is iconic in our own time, and this is Fred Rogers. For so many years, he's known to America and to children as Mr. Rogers with his neighborhood. Here is a picture of him with this set that he would use in his television program. Right? But if you think about a figure who, in a kind of a secular sense, has garnered for himself this enduring reputation of being a good neighbor to other people and encouraging the same type of behavior in others, it would be Fred Rogers. So much so that people still talk about him. Tom Hanks makes movies about him. But what he was really expressing, Mr. Rogers, is not far off, if at all off, of what Jesus talked about. Trying to be good in the midst of the people that surround us in our lives. Some of the more compelling images of people who've been willing to do big things come to us in our current situation, like the doctors and the nurses and the medical professionals who are willing to perhaps even risk their own health and well-being to be a benefit to those who are in dire circumstances. Maybe working to help revive someone or try somehow to prolong their lives. These are certainly people who we could look at and say they are a good neighbor to people that they've never even met, the next patient that comes through the door. Don't care where they've come from, don't care what their past has been. What I care about is the fact that here is a person who's in need and I've got to try to help. We appreciate these types of workers and many, many others that we could put a screen up on the screen that embody that same spirit. There may be some small ways, though, that we want to make sure that we point to where we can be a good neighbor to other people, and it may not capture the headlines like a shot of this hospital area, right? But they're still big, important elements nonetheless. Maybe we concern ourselves with being a good neighbor by being concerned about the health and the needs of the people who are around us. Even if we're healthy and well, maybe someone else is not, or they're really struggling and they need some help and assistance. Maybe I could just be careful that I'm not endangering someone else. It's not just about me. We are not islands. We live in and around other people, among other people. And we ought to take into account what it is that we can do to benefit the group, the whole. Another way, maybe in times like this, there are people who could just use a helping hand in day-to-day affairs. Again, it may not capture headlines somewhere, but how about taking note of individuals who need some assistance with daily activities? I realize that under our current circumstances, we want to be able to keep some distance and things like that, but I can go to the store and I can pick up necessities and bring them back and set them on the porch or drop them off, and we still make sure that we're being healthy. Maybe there's somebody in our neighborhood that could use a helping hand like this, and maybe you are the person to do that. Maybe I am the person who can step right in and make a difference. Maybe no one else is going to know, but that person does. I know, you would know, and the Lord knows. And this would be a manifestation of being a good neighbor to someone else. Maybe we look down the street and we realize there's somebody who could use a little bit of help with some regular responsibilities, like even mowing the yard or tending to some concerns outside. They don't have to compromise our need for being cautious for health concerns. But maybe there's someone down the street or in our community that I could go help or you could help in some ways like this. This particular photograph came from a story, a news story that circulated in June of 2019, so last summer. And this news story focused upon the fact that for PE course credit in high school, physical education, that these students were given the opportunity to earn their PE credits by doing actions of assistance like lawn care and things for some who were elderly and some who were disabled or physically limited in their community. And so the teens went out, they got their physical activity or exercise, but they made a difference for the people in their neighborhoods. And there's no reason, of course, why that couldn't continue on. In fact, the truth is that it has continued on. If we see the word contagious right now, we might immediately think about the virus and about germs and contamination or contagion. Absolutely. I would think about that, and you would too. But have you ever considered that this type of good neighborly service is also contagious? That is, that we can do something that invests in the needs, meeting the needs of other people, and we can be a catalyst helping others to do the same. We might even recognize our seemingly insignificant activities really do have a significant impact, and we're willing to do it again and again. What I thought was interesting about that article for these students doing the yard work for PE credits is that in the description, what they found or what the school administrators reported was that these students, many of them, continued volunteering through the summer. They got so used to helping and enjoyed being able to be an assistance to someone else so much that they went well beyond even the end of the school year. At that point, everything they were doing was voluntary. But it's because they knew they were making a difference and they could continue and they could help someone else. It's that type of thinking that we really want to promote. And by engaging ourselves, who knows who we're going to spur to have that same type of outlook. There are ways that you and I can help. I'm just going to sketch some basic contours as we bring things to a close. First of all, it may be that you find you've got extra time on your hand these days. We have our regular routines disrupted. That's true. But maybe then that means that we have a little bit more time where we can put ourselves into looking around and seeing if there aren't some ways that we can bless other people because we have minutes to fill during our days. So how can I use the time that I have today and tomorrow? I also want to encourage us to maintain a certain thoughtfulness toward the needs of other people. That's exactly what Paul stressed in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm not just looking out for my own needs, my own interests, my own wants. There are other people around me who have their needs, their interests, their wants. And maybe I can use some of this time to take action on behalf of another person. Now, I don't know all the ways that one might serve another person. Maybe this is where our creativity comes in, right? But being a good neighbor means that when opportunities present themselves, if we can do something positive, we can, we should. That's being a good neighbor. One other thing that I would encourage us to remember during this time, a good neighbor should be a patient figure, right? Back in Jesus' parable, you'll notice it seems like the Samaritan took quite extensive efforts on behalf of another person. He did. And I'm sure that Jesus, in telling the story, intended to highlight that length of investment by the Samaritan. Patience. The thing about events like this pandemic or other calamities that may occur, they don't necessarily go away rapidly. The consequences may have to be dealt with for a long time. It may be, and especially when we're talking about the scale that we're talking of, national and international concerns at this point, it's very possible that there's going to be someone you know who's thinking about things differently than you do. Maybe they don't appreciate this or that, or they have a different view on how things should be handled during these circumstances. What I would encourage is that a part of that good attitude leading to good action is that you and I should have patience in dealing with other people. I don't have to make them necessarily agree with me. But isn't it good when we can have civil, even Christ-like interactions between us? And when we speak to one another, we do so with courtesy. We do so with tact. We consider our words and let them always be with grace, Colossians chapter 4. That's something that you and I can do as well to show that we see this other person as a person. We value them. We want to interact in ways that are ultimately going to be beneficial to all of us. Having the right attitude is going to make such a difference in our dealing with other people. What I want to say at the end of this and encourage you to be able to say is that, yes, I am a good neighbor. It's not a boast. It's not as if it's something that we should crow about. But it can be a recognition that I am living the message Jesus gave in this Good Samaritan parable. That I am concerned about the people who are around me. And I'm making the determination I will try to help anytime I have the opportunity to do so. Only you can answer the question for you. Only I can answer it for me. But my prayer is that by the end of the day, that each of us would be able to look into the mirror and if asked the question, are you working to be a good neighbor? That we could, with honesty and humility, be able to say, yes, I am, because that matters to me. Being a good neighbor and living for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being with us during this study. And may God bless you in your life and studies and work. And may He bless us all, even in the most trying of times.